if we can add color to it, and if you can draw and rainbow write the colors. And this is like the beautiful things that our teachers are doing every day, our educators are doing, and they're putting signs to it, you know, go next door, borrow some more. It's like, what is that?
Yeah.
I never learned how to borrow numbers for subtracting with, you know, a kinesthetic motion, but our teachers can do, like, are doing those things.
Isn't that amazing? Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Brighter Together podcast. My name is Janet Courtney, and my guest today is Elaine Latimer. Elaine is the Director of Special Education at Lindley Academy Charter School, which is part of the American Paradigm Schools in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Elaine, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for inviting me.
I am so excited to hear. We talked a little bit before I started the show to hear about what's happening at your school and how you are dealing with our shortages.
Yeah. So, well, thank you again for inviting me into this opportunity. It's necessary to get the messages out there so that people can understand, you know, what we're doing, but also come into this field.
Yes, please. Right. But, yes,
please. We need you. But yes. More importantly, the kids need you. So, I have had the privilege of working at Lindley Academy for the last 9 years of my career.
Beautiful.
I've spent my entire career, which is 21 years. No one do the math on that, please. in special education, particularly in Philadelphia. We are an urban city. So city schools, city kids, our kids walk across the street to come to school and be there. And I've been part of charter networks for the majority of my entire career. At Lindley, we are facing the same impact that everyone nationally is facing in regards to teacher shortages, especially the special education teacher shortage. It's a national epidemic. You know, the National Association or Center for Educational Statistics, just this school year, the one that we're in, the 24-25 school year, where we only have weeks left.
Yeah. It's May 8th, by the way.
May 8th. And no one in education is counting. we are certainly, you know, in the final weeks, but just this school year, 72% of schools nationally had a vacancy in some position in special education for the start of within the school year. And 15% of our kids, our students nationally, receive some sort of special education service in our public school system under IDEA. So we need the people. We need the people who want to be with our students, who want to deliver the service that they deserve, and who are geared towards that, you know, because not everyone's ready for each thing. Right.
Right.
Someone is a great special education teacher and is phenomenal in mathematics. And somebody else is an amazing speech and language therapist. And the kids need both of those people to have the vested interest and the background. And if they don't have the background, seeking out more knowledge.
Right.
To get to there.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So you got 21 years. Let me tell you, I have 31. So don't feel bad about 21. That's fantastic. That is really fantastic. Don't do the math. Yeah. 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 The blonde, I don't know what it is about my hair today, but I've three times now I've talked about my hair in my podcast. It's not natural. I color it. I'm fighting it with everything I have, let me tell you. So, but that's okay.
Education realm creates more grace.
Yes, it does. It does. It does.
Especially in the week of what we've been dealing with post-pandemic.
Yeah. Yeah, post-pandemic, and it is post-pandemic, and it's heartbreaking. It's really heartbreaking. So what I know you guys have some interesting and innovative and out of the box solutions. What are you guys doing?
We are home growing. We have our little planter boxes in our building, and we are making those marigolds grow into teachers. So I mean, it started out with taking some, my principal loves when I steal, but I'll steal those top tier gen ed teachers, the ones who have been teaching literacy or math for years. And I'm like, you know, you've really got the skills. Don't you want to come over to this team? And don't you want to work in small groups all day? And don't you want to see those kiddos' charts rise? And you're the reason that that's happening in partnership with their families and all of those things. So it started out as that. But then, you know, in conjunction with my direct supervisor, the CEO of Lindley Academy, Dr. Marjorie Cavallo, we've made connections with local universities to bring in and develop our student teaching program. So we're partnering with our local universities. We're getting the student teachers. And from those student teachers, again, we're growing those marigolds. We're watering them. We're coaching them appropriately. We're teaching them that urban education is not scary. It's not, you know, don't be when you come home from the weekend from school or you're home for a holiday and your mom says, where are you student teaching? Is that a bad neighborhood? There are bad people in every neighborhood.
Yes, there are.
There are great people and great families in every neighborhood. And our neighborhood, just because we're a city school, is not a bad neighborhood.
Right.
We have wonderful families who call us all the time to say, hey, do you know that this was going on your campus? And we want you to be aware. And we went over and we, you know, cleaned up the glass that was there. Or we have a water main break on the street over, you know, a holiday weekend. And they have our cell phone numbers and they call us and they tell us because they want to be in partnership with us. Right. As we speak, the mayor of Philadelphia is doing a town hall at our school right now because she wants to be part of our community. It started out as student teaching. And getting those student teachers and resulted in us being able to hire some for special education teacher positions or even regular ed teacher positions. But I focus my energy in my department. But we have developed that even further into pre-service student teachers. So now we have pre-service student teachers coming in partnership with the universities, doing alternatives to observations, alternative spring breaks, alternative fall breaks, and spending a week, several days over the course of a month in our building, observing teachers, asking teachers questions, you know, like, what do you like about this? What's hard? And we tell them, these are the key words you want to hear when you go into an interview later in 2-3 years. And if they're not talking about MTSS systems, then you might and ask them, but then that might not be a place you want to be because they don't have those systems in place. And we're just trying to teach them how to be better prepared for the workforce too, because that's definitely a post-pandemic. You know, workforce initiative and, you know, people who want to be physically in buildings and the teaching doesn't happen online. There's, you know, a great group of students and families who thrive in an online environment, but public schools, we're in person and our kids come and they get their meals and they have a place that loves them and they learn reading on the side.
And they need that safe space sometimes. That one of the things that was what broke my heart during the pandemic, because we are online, you know, I mean, we don't do everything online, but we are online, an online therapy company, and online works in places. It doesn't work everywhere. But what broke my heart for kids was when all of the schools closed, the only place that some of these children, and I'm not saying this is Philadelphia, and I'm not saying it's your school, but I knew that there across the country, there were kids that the only safe place they had was school. And that was just closed on them and closed for a whole year, you know, and it was heartbreaking. It was. And so one of the things I prayed for all the time was, Lord, protect those kids, the kids that, you know, they didn't, you know, I know schools that did food, you know, lunches and provided meals. Yeah, you guys did that. Awesome. But, you know, it didn't replace the fact that there was. You know, and what, you know, just, it just broke my, it really did. It broke my heart. And I prayed all the time for those kids because I knew that there were kids that we were going to lose because they were not in a positive environment. And it's hard enough when you get them there to get them to a place where they can be ready to learn because they live in that kind of environment. But it just, yeah. So I totally am. I'm totally right there with you that some students absolutely need to be at school. They do. They absolutely need to be there. So
it is their fundamental right. They have the right to mm-hmm. a free and appropriate education.
Yeah. That's what IDEA is all about, right?
It's the whole basis of everything I do every day.
FAPE page.
A right to learn
mm-hmm.
in the best way that they can.
Right. Absolutely. And it's. I need to stay away from the politics here. I'm going to get myself in trouble. But I agree that free, appropriate public. And for those of you that are listening that don't know what we're talking about, if you're not an educator, which I think most of you are going to be, but those of you that don't know, part of the Individual Disability Education Act is part, and the foundation of it is a free, appropriate public education. And that's a page on the IEP. It's called the FAPE page, F-A-P-E, free, appropriate public education. That's what we're talking about. And it's important. And it is the right of children to have that education. And that law has been around since the 70s. It is not going anywhere. It is, and they have affirmed it and reaffirmed it. And our government does agree that education is something that needs to happen. And I'm going to stop there, but that it's important. It's really important.
How wild is it that it took till the 70s
mm-hmm.
for children, you know, with special needs to be recognized as they can learn?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Some of it is our own ignorance. I mean, not knowing. I mean, and discipline. I mean, when you look at discipline, how much has discipline changed in the last 20 years? I mean, I was a product of the 70s. Again, don't do the math, but it was not. We looked at the behaviors and tried to deal with the behaviors instead of what was the underlying cause. Mm-hmm. And so that's been a shift in my career that I have seen in the last 30 years, as you know, instead of just punitive, you know, for the behavior, let's figure out, you know, and BCBAs have done so much for that. You know, what is the underlying cause of the behavior? Because kids don't want to be bad. They don't. They don't choose to be bad. They're reacting to their world, to their environment, to what's going on inside of them. And yeah, so it's important. And
the way kids learn, it transfers from discipline right into academics, right into all of their other needs. You know, it's understanding how their brain processes information and how they learn differently than their peer next to them. Because mm-hmm. I need to write everything down and I need to cross it off. And then I need to highlight it in a color to know that I've done it, and I need mm-hmm. a task sheet. But then somebody else, and my own daughter, like, just makes this beautiful artwork. And I'm like, lucky I can draw a stick figure, because everyone just learns so differently. And if she has the opportunity to learn through art and through music, and, she grasps it so much better. And I was just never that mm-hmm. student. And that's, we have classrooms of 30 kids that are all learning in a different way because their brain is processing the information in a different way, or they're receiving the information mm-hmm. in a different way. So we need, you know, our special education teachers, our related service providers, they have that skill set to tap into that untapped knowledge, you know, like, mm-hmm. oh, I've figured out that you love gameplay. So if I can just make you think that this is a game and learn sight words, then, you know, you are going to learn those sight words. And if we can add color to it, and if you can draw and rainbow write the colors, and this is like the beautiful things that our teachers are doing every mm-hmm. day, our educators are doing, and they're putting signs to it, you know, go next door, borrow some more. It's like, what is that?
Yeah.
I never learned how to borrow numbers for subtracting with, you know, a kinesthetic motion, but our teachers can do, like, are doing those things.
Isn't that amazing? That is amazing.
Heroes. They don't even know, like, that they're doing it. I'm like, you, mm-hmm. what did you just do?
Yeah, right?
Yeah. Like, do you know how many modalities you just tapped into? And they're like, oh, really? Yeah.
Good. You gave me a name for it. That's fantastic. Right. And I love the term neurodivergent, you know, because it really, that's also a relatively, was not, you never heard neurodivergent. And when I was in school, and that is, it's so true. And understanding that neurodivergence doesn't mean disabled. It just means that you process things differently. And I love that too, because it's so true. When we can, and knowing that education has adapted and is taking those kinds of steps. My son is neurodivergent and he thinks way different than I do. And I just look at him and he's like his dad. I mean, his dad is, he got his dad's way of processing thing. And my other two got more the way I process things. But I think he's an extreme version of his dad, but he's very good at what he does. And so, you know, but he's an introvert and he doesn't like being around a ton of people. And he'll tell you, he's like, I'm peopled out for the day. I'm peopled out. Me, I'm energized by people. I love this. This is me. He would be mortified if I asked him, hey, come and sit and do my podcast with me. I mean, no way, he couldn't do it, but he sure as heck can fix a computer. And if my phone's not working right or whatever, I can say, Jonathan, please come and help me. I'm frustrated with this because I don't think that way. So,
and we just came out of autism. April was autism acceptance month. And, you know, our school, we happen to have a wonderful, diverse group of children who are on the autism spectrum. And annually, we do a month long celebration of neurodivergent minds at our school. And we do staff t-shirts every year. And we have geared them in the last several years around that terminology, neurodivergent. And we are celebrating minds of all kinds and celebrating the brain, like brains of different thinking. And so our shirts don't say autism acceptance anymore. They say neurodivergent acceptance, or celebrate neurodiversity, or we're celebrating, last year I think it was celebrating minds of all kinds. And
nice, I like that. Yeah,
you know, that language, familiarize yourself with that language. That doesn't mean that you are on the autism spectrum. That means that your brain works differently. And then, you know, you get the adults who are self-diagnosing.
right. Oh wow, hey, that's me, right? Yeah,
we're all different. That's the beauty of humanity.
And the maturity that comes with it, I think, too, is, you know, some people, and those that don't figure out, I'm sad for them. Really, I'm sad for them, because we want people to be successful. You want people to. That's what we do. We're about taking care of kids.
So. Everything's the same.
Yes. Yeah, for sure. So, okay. So you've got the programs. How is it? What has the outcome been so far? How long have you been doing this? I'd love to hear the wins that you've had.
Yeah. So some with our partnerships with the universities, every year we have had a turnaround rate of at least one student teacher coming over and joining the special education department as an employee over the last 3 years. And some year the data looks different every year because the number of student teachers that we receive each year might be a little bit different, or they might go into gen ed over special ed. And I'm tracking the data of who's coming over in to our department. But over the last 3 years, we've resulted in one hire. Last year, it was 100% turnaround rate.
You had one. That's okay. That's okay, right?
So we have done that. We also, this year, just recently, we had a group of alternative spring break students come in pre-service, and they were babies. You know, they were fresh. I lovingly call them 13th graders. And some of them were undeclared. Some of them were going into the nursing field. Some of them were like, I think I want to be in education, but I'm just not sure yet. I need something that, like, pushes me over that line. And some were education majors. And what was nice is at the end of the week, we brought them all together and we gave them all the same experience. But the one that was like a nursing major, we had her team up with our school health center. And she got to do some health screenings for the kids and some vision screenings and see what like a school nursing office from the side of somebody who's working in that health center versus the kid who comes down with the fever. Needs the Band-Aid, you know, because they were just on that other side a couple of years ago, but she got to see it. We said, what was this experience like for you? And she was like, I think I want to go into pediatric nursing. Like, I think I want to see what like school nursing will turn into for me, or even, and I showed her, you know, the outlet of pediatric nursing means so much. And, you know, there's, so much involved in, you know, that, but also pediatric speech therapy and nursing in a hospital setting versus a school setting, and what speech looks like outside of a school setting and in private therapy or in a hospitalized setting or a nursing setting or a preschool. And like it, that led down a path that she was like, I had no idea. And so much of that is also related to what you're probably taking in freshman year. And then the university came back and said two of the students declared that they wanted to be education majors.
Oh, neat.
So it was nice for us to hear that post, like, because we knew, I was like, yeah, you know, I'm trying to reel them in and I'm giving them my best sales pitch. But at the end of the week, I just didn't know what, like, where would they go? So we will invite them back again. You know, next year they'll be sophomores and we'll still partner with this university and we'll invite them back and into student teaching too.
So, yeah. Yeah. And that's, you just are, you're a teacher, you're an educator, you're an influencer. It definitely, you know, and even if they don't, you know, it's just like this podcast. I don't know what the impact is going to be across the board. You know, we serve 2,500 kids this year. I don't know all of the impact of what we do, but boy, I know we're making one. I know you're making one because we don't live in a bottle. We don't live in a box. We live and what we do today touches somebody else tomorrow. And we'll never on this side of heaven know all of it. But as long as we keep doing what we've been created to do and love on people and be where our gifts are, which you're teaching people where their gifts are. And that's fantastic. I actually started in, it's funny that you were talking about that because I started in deaf education. That was where I wanted to go. And then just life happens. And then what do I want to do? And, you know, I went for a year, quit for a year, went back part-time for a year, quit for a year, and then figured out what I wanted. But, so I was 26 before I was even all the way done, you know, but it took that time for me to figure it out. And it was, you know, I did do some stuff in as a high school student. I observed in a classroom and went and did. So, you know, all of the things that are a piece of your experience create who you are, right? So it's awesome.
And part of our pre-service student teaching, you know, this program where we're trying to teach these undergrads what it's like to be in school and like maybe convince them to come into it. If we get one, I'm calling that a win because that's one more than what was in that program before,
right?
I would love for them all to convert, you know, like we would love for them all to dive in and I would love it if they all decided that they wanted to take the special education path because it's just so rewarding to learn how that kid learns and to figure out how to make their graph grow and then to celebrate that kiddo when they make those milestones. And in partnership with those families too, it's tremendous. And we love to say, you know, we printed out certificates, you graduated from speech therapy or you graduated from OT and love to celebrate those victories because that's a graduation. You have accomplished a big achievement that not all of your peers had to accomplish at the same rate that you did. So it's not a high school graduation because goodness knows you have further to go than just and you have further to go than high school because you have a long path ahead of you when you have teachers in the building that are driving you to excellence and the excellence that every kid is made for in their own way.
The kids are lucky to have you guys. They really are. And the students that are going there, I can see that.
We are lucky to have them. So my boss, my CEO, my supervisor always says to these pre-service student teachers, you being in education, like you're not making the difference. Like the kids are going to make you different because they do. They teach us every day. And they're fun.
It is fun.
I was a middle school teacher and like I say to the kindergarten teachers all the time, I don't know how you do it every day, but thank goodness for you every day because I couldn't do it. But they're like, I couldn't have taught linear equations to 120 kids a day. Great. So we're all in where we were supposed to be.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So true. It's so true. Okay. One last question. If you could, and I ask this to all my podcast guests, well, most of them I missed too. If you could miraculously solve one challenge, and I, you know, we've kind of been talking about it all this whole time, but if you could miraculously solve one challenge in the school, what would you want to solve? Just one. You only get one.
Solve one in my school or in
doesn't matter. Just in school. I just it's just in school. You know what would you if you could just say I want this thing fixed. What would you fix? And it would be fixed permanently.
So I have a magic wand.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, scenario. It can be. Yeah.
I want every child to have access to a library of books at their reading level.
Oh, nice.
At any point in time.
Very
like,
cool.
That they close their eyes, snap their fingers, and they have a book in front of them that they're interested in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's on their level. So yeah. That they learn to love reading.
Yeah.
I like
you learn to read and then you read to learn. You
and
do.
Then you read to learn.
Yeah. It's funny
and
that you see
everything you do because
it
you
does.
Read
yeah.
to understand that math equation
mm-hmm. like,
or to understand the science of what you're doing right. and the engineering and all of the things.
Yeah. One of the things as an SLP that I always told my parents, I didn't care what level the child was at, read to your kids. Read to your child. Read to your child. If you do nothing else, if you don't do anything else, I tell you, as a mom or as a dad, is take 15 minutes a night and read to your child. And obviously, I did that. And then my kids are excellent readers, but they surpassed their mother. They really did. But I read to them all the way through like middle school, high school. I mean, we would take and find a story that everybody, we read The Hobbit. I mean, I just, you know, it just was the boys were in. It's funny. That's one my daughter bowed out of. She's like, no, mom, I'm not interested in that book. And
tough read.
Yeah, it's a tough read.
Tolkien was no joke.
Yeah, no, he wasn't. We did Watership Down one time and many, many, many other books. I can't even tell you how many, but I have said that so many times to my parents. Read to your children, just read to them. And my mom, my parents didn't read to me. And I struggled with reading as a small child. And I was one of my, you know, everybody talks about their teacher, that one teacher taught me how to read and how to do it. And then I found the love of books and now, you know, and then I'm one of those moms who like every single classic book that's out there, I would have it for my kids. And then the other books that they like, I don't care what it was. I've wanted to read. So I totally get it.
We never shy away in my house from going, spending a weekend in an indie bookstore. And
oh, that's a treat. Yeah. Oh my goodness. Yeah.
Right?
My kids love it when I take them to the bookstore because they know bookstore. I'm going to buy them books. I don't care if they're all grown.
Mother's Day, let's go to an indie bookstore and everyone has to pick out a book.
Oh, fun.
You know
yeah.
that, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. So.
But
okay.
Also we say to families, pick, like, read what you want.
Yeah.
You can listen and follow along.
Mm-hmm.
Because some are auditory learners and read the back of the cereal box. But cereal boxes were much better in the 80s.
Oh, yeah. They used to be great. Yeah. They used to be great.
Are now. So but read the back of the cereal box. Graphic novels are incredible for implying inferencing skills and learning what those conversations actually mean and digging into those conversation skills.
And creating your own conversation from them, right? Yeah, it's like, take that. What do you think they're saying? I love doing that. I love going to the mall and go, because, you know, there's as many stories as there are human beings. And sometimes I'm a people watcher, and because people are fascinating. And you sit there and you watch them. And my son and I used to do this, and we'd make up our own stories for, oh, that person, what do you think? Why is he wearing that? You know, and just make up a story about why they're at the mall and what they're looking for, and you know, just the creative side of it was super fun. So,
and when kiddos can identify words in their world and they see that the stop sign says stop, and they see like they could read those signs in their world, or they get the piece of mail and they can read the title of that circular that comes in the mail, your child has become a reader.
Yeah, yeah. I love it when they recognize their name for the very first time. Yeah. That's a really cool point too. Yeah. Anyway, we need to stop. This has been a great conversation. Elaine, thank you so much for being here. I could talk to you for another hour. I really could. Where should people go though, if they want to learn a little bit more about you and a little bit more about your school?
So American Paradigm's website, AmericanParadigm.org. They can go to directly get to our four American Paradigm schools. We are all a lottery-based school system. So if parents want to apply, you have to go through an application process to apply for our school lottery. And it's a lottery. But our lottery specifically for Lindley is for students in our neighborhood first.
Oh, nice.
So students who live in our catchment area get in first. And I would love to see our wait list grow. I would love to see more students come in. And families can reach me. My email address is on the website, but it's elatimer@ap-schools.org. I'm also on LinkedIn.
Fantastic. There you go. Well, great. Thanks once again for being on the Brighter Together podcast, because we really are brighter together. Thanks, Elaine.
Thank you so much for this opportunity.